Joining us on the TRoCare College Live Line this morning, Steve Roberts, political analyst, as we take a look at what's going on in Washington. And Steve, it's been a whole week now of Epstein drama with the question at the end. I feel like it's no longer, will we know everything? Because it seems like that might never really happen, right? The question is now, what is the impact? And I think that's just as unclear.
Well, it is a very complex situation. And for our listeners, Jeffrey Epstein, of course, was a convicted sex offender, close friend of Donald Trump's for many years. They had a falling out in the early 2000s. But Epstein died by suicide in a New York prison in 2019. But here's the problem for Donald Trump. For years and years, he and his most devoted MAGA followers have campaigned on the argument that there's a deep state, a conspiracy, a wide-ranging and nefarious conspiracy organized by the Democrats in Washington with all sorts of secrets and all sorts of conspiracies. But the Epstein case was one of the prime examples. They campaigned, J.D. Vance, his vice president, kept saying during the campaign, release the Epstein files. There's a client list, and the Democrats are protecting all of these donors and supporters who were on Epstein's client list, for trafficking for young underage women. And so then he becomes president, and his most loyal supporters say, okay, now that you're president, where's the list? Where's the evidence, all of these things you campaigned on for years? And in fact, his attorney general, at one point, Pam Bondi said, I have a list. It's on my desk. But Donald Trump doesn't really want to release this, partly because it could include his own name as well as, I mean, Elon Musk said at one point, Donald Trump is on the list. And this is a touchy, difficult situation for Trump, and he wants it to go away. But this in many ways is a self-inflicted wound, because he was the one who kept saying all these years, it's the deep state, it's the conspiracy, it's the Democrats. And as Maureen Dowd wrote in the New York Times, it's tough to blame the deep state when you are now the deep state. When you're the president, the world looks very different than when you're a campaigner. When you're a campaigner, you can say anything you want. You can talk about all these conspiracies. You can stoke all these grievances. Now when you're president, you are the one in charge of the list. You're the one in charge of the information. And suddenly he doesn't really want to get involved in releasing the information he promised he would. And that's the problem. This is a self-inflicted wound. It's not a fatal wound, but it's a wound because he promised his own people something which he's not delivering.
Steve, though, what's to come of this when most Americans don't care about this?
You're absolutely right. Most Americans do not care about this. Folks in Buffalo care about the price of gas and groceries. They don't care about Jeffrey Epstein. Most of them have no idea who Jeffrey Epstein is. But the core of MAGA Nation, the core believers, know darn well who Jeffrey Epstein is. This is an in-house, in-family problem. It's not a larger problem, at least not so far, for Donald Trump. And I don't expect it to be a major wound, because Trump has proven over and over and over again how resilient he is, how clever he is, how evasive he is. When you get elected president after having been convicted of a felony, if you get elected president after the Access Hollywood tapes, if you get elected president after you've been convicted of paying hush money to a porn star to cover up your affair with her, you have shown you're pretty darn good at evading and ducking, and he's the most resilient politician I have ever encountered in 60 years of covering politics, with the possible exception of Ronald Reagan. So I do not expect this to be a lasting problem, but when you tell your most ardent followers something and then you don't keep that promise, it can be a problem. And as the New York Times headline this week said, MAGA is tearing itself apart over Jeffrey Epstein. Not America's not tearing itself apart. Voters in Buffalo are not tearing themselves apart. But the core followers are upset about this.
So while all this is going on, what does it mean for the president's ability to get things done? We already saw a passage a few weeks ago now of his big spending bill. I mean, does this complicate things in pushing items of his agenda through Congress, or is it just a sideshow?
I think it's a sideshow. I don't think it compromises his basic abilities. He's had remarkable success. You got to remember, he has very narrow majorities in both the House and the Senate. And yet he passed this enormous, as he called it, one big, beautiful bill with very narrow majorities. I mean, that was a enormously competent and successful legislative maneuver. And he followed it up by getting this package of what's called rescissions through, clawing back $9 billion of money that had already been appropriated by Congress. And yet Congress went along with his request to roll back this money, mainly money for USAID, international aid development, as well as public broadcasting. So at this point, even though Trump has very narrow majorities in both houses, I've been struck and even stunned at how effective he's been at managing those majorities. And I don't think that power is really being threatened at all.
And he just marked the six-month mark of his second term. What kind of a grade would you give him for getting things done?
I'd give him a pretty good grade. You know, I'd give him an A. I mean, it's because it's not just legislatively. He's also been very effective at executive orders. Now, a number of these orders have been blocked in federal courts. There are over 100 legal challenges to Trump's. And in some cases, he has overstepped the bounds. You take the area, for instance, of birthright citizenship, where he declared that this should be abrogated. And this is a pretty clear constitutional principle, and he's most likely to lose that one in the courts. But a lot of the temporary orders that federal judges issue to try to delay some of his executive orders, I think in the end, the courts are going to, if not completely, largely give him the power to execute these executive orders. And he's issued so many of them that if he loses a few, it's not really a major setback. So I have to, at this point, say that, you know, he's been an extremely effective president. And the Democrats have been an extremely ineffective opposition for the first 6 months.
Steve, you was talking about your football team this weekend. When you go to games, people you sit around with, how much do they talk about the name?
All the time. The fact is that when we sing the fight song, when they score a touchdown, they've changed the words of the fight song to replace Redskins with Commanders. But I got to tell you, most of us, including me and my grandsons, cheering because I'm a season ticket holder at the Commanders, we still use the word Redskins in the fight song because it's so much a part of our heritage. Now, I deeply understand the offensive nature and how for indigenous peoples the word Redskin would be a deeply offensive phrase. But it is part of the cultural heritage of the city. And when we sing the fight song, most of us still use the old words.
For the tradition. Steve, thank you.